All right, Ezekiel Elliott has been released by the Cowboys. Where does he rank all time? Best running backs in Cowboys history, 877-881-1053. We have the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, in the saddle for the final time this year. Welcome to the G-Bag Nation, ladies and gentlemen. Lucius Alexander holding it down in the Pimp Cup. Ellie live at 540. Carter Freeman running the fan cam, Twitch and YouTube. Zeke no longer a member of the Cowboys, and they're saying it's they're trying to get him on a playoff team. They release him, see if a playoff team picks him up, see if he can go on a run here. Maybe a team needs 3.1 a carry to get them over the hump. You never know when you're 3.1 yards per carry away from hoisting up a Lombardi. And now the 14 playoff teams have that opportunity, and I'm sure they're all just chomping at the bit, trying to make sure he clears waivers. All right, you know, we talked obviously a lot about McCarthy, his status, 1 year, the 1 year deal this year, and now it expires. But Will McClay, who is the de facto GM to some extent,
yeah,
and the guy who's been running the drafts for the Cowboys for many years now, his deal also expires. And Bobby brought this up with Jerry earlier today. He was dancing around it per usual, but isn't that potentially even bigger? We talk about the head coach and Mike McCarthy. Of course, that's the headliner. But Will McClay having an opportunity to maybe go be a GM somewhere else, is this the year that he finally says, you know what, I want the official title. I want to go be the man somewhere. He packs his bags out of town.
Will might be listening, so he always hates what I say. I have the utmost respect for Will, by the way.
Everybody does, and the Cowboys only want to build their team through the draft,
which is
a fool's errand if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, but still, if you want to be respectable, you need a guy who's pulling the draft strings because you're not getting any free agency or trade strings pulled.
It's a unique job that he has, that the fact that he, and we always talk about him being in the middle of the triangle with coaches on one side, scouts on the other, and the Joneses being on the top of the triangle, and he does a really nice job of navigating that. Because the scouts are mad at the coaches are mad at the Joneses are mad at the scouts and the coaches, and Will does a really great job of navigating all that and like getting everybody together and building consensus, and Will has done a really, really fine job. And Jerry has always said this, that, you know, Jerry wants to take the blame. He doesn't want anybody else in the organization to take the blame, because when it works, he wants to be able to take the credit. And I think Will has done a really nice job of the communications aspect. He's got a scouting staff that is very loyal to him. They're not going anywhere. Their continuity is strong there. But there also needs to be a time, I think, where Will McClay has to think about, do I need to go? I want to go hire my own coach. I want to go hire all my own scouts. I want to hire my own, you know, I want to be the guy. I want to build the team. I want this to be my roster.
And you've always talked about his son being in grade school and high school and wanting to stay local because of that.
He had a very similar situation to where I had. And I'm just saying, from being in personnel and then getting a divorce and then having to be around for your child, you know, you don't want to pick up and move. And had other opportunities when Bennett was really young. I mean, I was divorced when Bennett was, you know, 3 years old. Now he's, you know, he's about to be 21. So there were opportunities I had, but I couldn't leave. I had to be around for him. And so I couldn't go take other jobs. I couldn't go on the road. So I had to do things. It got me into media, and I'm cool with that. Totally cool with that. But the things that Will was dealing with, you know, his son, he was in a similar situation where he had to be around for his kid. And it was, and, you know, he's well compensated with the Cowboys, but, you know, as if he were to run a team, it would be his team. He would be the general manager of the team. And I think we're closer to that than we are Will McClay staying around. I know he's very happy. I know he wants to get Jerry a championship if he can, but there also comes a point in time where you have to look at this and say, every time that I turn a job down, am I going to get another opportunity? And that's what he has to weigh right now.
Is the son still in high school, or is he?
I think the son's in his final year. Yeah, getting closer to a graduation, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
he was younger than Bennett. I know that. So, yeah, and Bennett's a junior now at Texas, so we ought to be getting close.
Okay, where does Zeke rank for you? All best running backs in Cowboys history. He was, by the way, three touchdowns away from tying Dorsett for the most touchdowns in Cowboys history.
All time. I would rank him. I would rank Smith, Dorsett. I saw Dwayne Thomas play in the 70s here. Now, Dwayne Thomas did not have a really long career here, but he was a Super Bowl champ. Outstanding player. I think Ezekiel Elliott is better than Dwayne Thomas. So I would put him, I would put Elliott behind Smith, Dorsett, Elliott, and then Dwayne Thomas. I did not get to see Don Perkins play. He finished in 68. I was only 5 years old. So he was another great running back in Cowboy history. DeMarco Murray should be up there somewhere too. I'm going to say DeMarco Murray is behind Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe DeMarco Murray behind Ezekiel, like I said, and then Dwayne Thomas behind him. DeMarco Murray's up there, some of the best I've seen. You know, when you talk about Cowboys all-time running backs. So Smith, Dorsett, Elliott, Murray, and then Dwayne Thomas.
The 520 and the 682 are trolling me right here, Broadus, when they're texting in that Zeke's behind Julius Jones.
You thought about it, didn't you?
They're trolling us, right?
They might really believe it.
I was smoking that. Ooh-wee.
Yeah, it seems like that is rampant right now, Lucius. Okay, let's go ahead. We have the known opponents for the Cowboys next year.
Yes. The home is in the way?
Yeah, we got the homes.
We get Green Bay at home, don't we?
Yes. You're
we got Minnesota
have,
at home?
Yeah, you're playing the NFC
North.
All right,
here we go.
You're playing the NFC North, and you're playing the AFC West.
Okay, so you're going to – oh, we get a trip to Vegas.
Yes, they are going to be going to Vegas.
Okay, we're
going to take on the Raiders.
Are we going to play? We got Denver at home, or are we away?
No, you're going to Denver.
Oh, that'll be tough.
You're going to Detroit.
We got Chargers at home then.
Yes, you have the Chargers at home. You have the Chiefs at home, Vikings and Packers.
So you're going,
and then also the Cardinals.
Cardinalis. Oh, that's in.
That's at AT&T Stadium.
Oh, so no Cardinals. Okay, because you got your ass kicked last time you played them in.
I don't think it matters if it's in Arizona or not. I think that team has
Arizona,
your number.
Arizona at Arizona usually beats the Cowboys.
It seems like the Cardinals always beat the Cowboys.
And there's got to be swing games. Okay, New England Jets, is that one of the swing games?
Yes, yeah, so you're going to get an NFC South team, and you're going to get an
Saints,
AFC East team.
So Saints Carolina, right, because we're a third place team.
Yes.
So Saints Carolina, or we're going to get Jets New England.
Yes.
Okay.
And those will be road games for you. So you're going to go to Chicago, to Denver, to Detroit, and to Vegas. And you're going to go, you're going to welcome in the Packers, the Vikings, the Chiefs, and the Chargers. And then obviously you have your divisional games. That's tough sledding right there.
They might not win a home game.
That is.
If you can't beat the Saints and Houston, you're not going to beat the Chiefs and Packers.
We're looking for bounce back 25 Cowboys. Yeah. That schedule as it stands right now, that's going to be challenging. Maybe they'll do the beet juice thing when they go to Mile High to take on the Broncos. Pull out all the stops.
Yeah, get beet juice.
Be careful with that too. Don't drink too much.
Yeah. Is there a problem with beet juice?
Run right through you?
It doesn't run right through you, but it'll sit you down for a while whenever it starts working.
Really?
Yeah. You start sending texts. Hey, I'll be there a little late.
In what world? Why were you drinking beet juice? Is it delicious?
Stay regular and clean. You know, okay, I like the fiber. Keep fibrous.
There you go.
Stomach
fibrous.
Well, fibrous stomach.
Apparently, it's good to prep the body.
Yes.
For Mile High altitudes.
Okay.
So at least according to the Colts,
I think you're getting ball sacked.
I don't know. I mean, the Colts definitely didn't win that game when they went to Denver, so I don't know how much it helped them there. But there's your Cowboys schedule for next season, and I would like to tee up some sound from the playmaker.
What's the record?
The playmaker
6-11.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy back for another one.
Yeah, that. We'll have plenty of time for record predictions, but that looks like a tough 2025 schedule for the Cowboys.
We predicted when we did our show deal, we picked 9-8.
Yes,
we did.
So we were pretty on par.
We were close. We didn't expect him to lose to New Orleans and Atlanta.
No, we didn't have the individual games nailed, but we did have the overall schedule pretty much nailed.
Boy, New Orleans thought they had it, too. They thought they were Super Bowl bound after beating the Cowboys. Had a darn parade on division right there.
They really did, dude. They had they had tubas,
umbrellas.
They had a percussion squad. That was amazing.
The umbrellas were all out that day.
The playmaker Michael Irvin was on the Herd with Colin Cowherd and listened to him talk about McCarthy and his future status.
This for me, this kind of game erases December. You can't tell me, oh, we play good in December and then. The backups to the team, their backups playing your backups, and they put up a 40 burger on you, and you look like the way you look. So I think, this takes away some of the things that you have.
Would you replace McCarthy?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I just think it's time to go in another direction.
Okay.
You know, and I hear this late surge to maybe going to stay with Mike McCarthy. I'm not on that bandwagon. What I believe is, this team needs more discipline. I'm not saying Mike McCarthy is not a good coach, X's and O's coach, you know, but I think the team needs more discipline. And sometimes it's hard to bring that in when you say, okay, this guy who doesn't have that firm hand and discipline is now going to either bring somebody else in to help him.
You know
with
what
discipline.
I always said, Michael? It's much
and that
easier.
That doesn't work.
Okay, so Michael Irvin, obviously not in favor of bringing McCarthy back. I disagreed with him with what he said in regards to the X's and O's stuff and having a respect for McCarthy's football acumen. But the old school players look at McCarthy's offense and they think that it is schematically up to par because it's the stuff that they were doing when they were winning in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But it has not advanced like the rest of the league has offensively. So agree to disagree with Michael Irvin there. But the overall point, the discipline, all that stuff, and this Eagles game just erasing all the good equity that he had built up over these last few weeks, I agree with Michael Irvin, and I do appreciate that he's willing to go out there and say that because there's so many voices right now. Jimmy Johnson, Troy Aikman, oh yeah, McCarthy needs to come back.
Yeah.
Come on, the discipline stuff is real too. You know, it's not like he's got everything dialed and it's just his X's and O's offensively that are problematic. And
does he have a discipline problem?
I mean, you're always penalized. Your teams aren't ready to play when it's time to go play up against the real teams, good teams. You and your team are deer in the headlights.
Is that discipline or is that just lack of talent? Are you playing better teams that are better teams?
This
one to me is
when you're getting blown out, dude. You're not barely losing these games. You're not right there. You're getting smashed.
But is that discipline or is that just you're not good enough? I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk here.
I think semantics on what it is. Your coach doesn't have your team ready to play when the games actually matter. When there's no expectation to win and the postseason is now you're eliminated.
And
sure.
Okay.
When the expectation go all the way down to the floor,
I've said to you, I said they don't have a difference maker.
Correct.
It's not discipline. It's a difference maker. You don't have that coach that could get you to the point where when you're playing a good team, that he could be the one advantage you have. That's discipline to me is like the team is the penalty stuff and all that. We haven't had a deal where we had Mike McCarthy stand up there and, well, the bad penalties were bad today. Yeah, you know, penalties were bad. You know, he there was some of that early in the year, and then all of a sudden they changed the left tackle out. And they weren't having holding calls. They weren't having guys lining up deep in the backfield. Defense, we didn't see the holdings and the, you know. Am I right about that? Am I right about the number of penalties? I mean, I'm sure you can pull it up a lot faster than me. But that I just kind of feel like when you talk about discipline, discipline is like your team is just, you know, you're having problems off the field. There's a lot of complaining. There's a lot of the locker room is bad.
Cowboys have the fourth most penalties in the season.
Okay. Can you break it down on a week-to-week thing for me? Do they have that?
I don't have that in front of me.
Okay,
I
could get that at the break. I could probably get that at the break. But there was a time where, they were really – they were one of the – and every week McCarthy stood up there and was – We got to be better on penalties. We got to be better. I don't feel like that they've been the most penalized team in the league the last 6-7 weeks.
I got you.
I appreciate Mike wants to get a new coach, but I think if he would have said, I don't think Mike McCarthy is a difference maker. Jimmy Johnson is a difference maker. He played for a difference maker. You know, that's where I think this team lacks, because you do play against teams like, you know, like, well, look, next year, Minnesota's got a difference maker. Detroit's got a difference maker. You know, I think Kansas City's got a difference maker.
Denver.
I think Denver's got a difference maker. See, if McCarthy comes back, he's going to be at a disadvantage in all those games.
Chargers with Harbaugh.
Keep going.
Yeah. No, that's just the fact of the matter. And we definitely agree. We would both like to see someone new here. Yeah. So we'll agree with the playmaker on that. Sure. All right, let's get you the Wooly Bully Top 10 list of the day, 2024 year in review. That's next year in the Nation. All right, let's get you the final Wooly Bully Top 10 list of 2024. Welcome into the G-Bag Nation. We have our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereth, joining the program here in about 15 minutes. Zeke released from the Cowboys. We have a statement from his agent as well. We'll get to that at some point here very, very soon. Segment brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. And if you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333 with Frankel & Frankel. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. All right, what you got, Broadus?
Okay, since week 12, I was looking at the penalties, right?
Oh, cool, yeah.
Week 12, four penalties. Week 13, 6 penalties. Week 14, 4 penalties. Then they had the game at Carolina in week 15 where they had 14.
Oof.
Week 16, they had 5. Week 17, this last week, they had 8. Okay. Of their 117 penalties that they've had this year, 11 of them have been for this. Defensive, too many men on the field. 4 of those. Player out of bounds on a special teams play, you know, like running out of bounds. 3 of those. I think those are good ones.
Yeah. How do you get those too many men on the field penalties? You've been playing this game for a long time, and if somebody's in your spot.
Lucius, you're right.
You get out there like, man, this is a fool in my spot. Maybe I should go back to the block.
They've had.
Thank you, Lucius.
They've had 6 of those. They've had 6 total of too many men on the field. 2 on the offense, 4 on the defense is what they've had. And they've had 2 penalties this year where kickoffs were short. You know, they weren't in that landing zone.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 of their penalties were like, what? The penalties they've been called for the most are false starts, 24, offensive holding, 24, defensive pass interference, 6, illegal formation, that's the dudes lining up too deep, 6 of those, and unnecessary roughness, 5. Those are your penalties this year that you've been called on. Is that discipline or is that just some idiotic things that they're doing?
Maybe
it is discipline. Maybe he's right. But I would like to believe like 11 of those penalties are like sideline penalties, like Lucius was asking about. Too many men on the field. Kickoff short.
You're not buttoned up.
No.
And we know that there are bigger problems than just Mike McCarthy when it comes to the Cowboys. This is a 30-year run now of not reaching pinnacle. But the only way to shake things up is with the head coach. You're not moving on from the Joneses. You're not moving on from the culture that the Joneses have set from the top down for, again, the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, is your biggest issue. But there's nothing we can do about that. So the next best thing is to try and go get a difference maker at the head coach spot, and they haven't had one since Jimmy. We'll see if they do it this time. All right, the top 10 list of the day. I have the top 10 new words for 2024 that the kids have apparently been saying. These are global sensations here as it pertains to some of these new words. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not really familiar with most of these. So we'll see. Have you learned any new words this year? Maybe some slang terms. 877-881-1053, the final day of the year. I also have in front of me, now do you guys know who had the number one song of the year? Any guesses? I've never even heard of this guy.
Well, I was wrong.
You're thinking Kendrick Lamar, right?
No. I was going to go like Glorilla.
Okay.
The 7th Friday. Me.
I have heard that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Who is it?
It's some fish dude.
Jelly Roll.
Fish.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Teddy Swims?
Teddy Swims. Fish. I'm saying fish. It swims.
Okay. You need point. You want points for that?
No. I was sweet. I was thinking. I knew it was fish.
That fish guy.
When you said when
you
said
know
fish,
what I'm talking about.
You said I knew it was swims. I couldn't remember if it was fish or swims.
You were right there, man. You really were.
I was trying, man. Uh-oh.
It's better than what I had. I'm like, who is Teddy Swims?
What are you about?
Apparently, Teddy Swims' song called Lose Control.
Oh, no.
Not sure that I've ever heard this song, is the number one song of the year.
Lose Control.
And so I would like for Broadus to just read us a little excerpt here. We have...
Oh, no, I'm not doing
we
this.
We have the opener, we have the chorus, and we have verse 2. Brought to you by Brian Broadus. This is the song of the year, Teddy Swims, Lose Control, Cold Read, Take It Away, Krusty.
All right, here we go.
This is your song of the year, ladies and gentlemen, performed by Brian Broadus.
Something's got a hold on me lately. No, I don't know myself anymore. Feels like the walls are all closing in and the devil's knocking at my door. Whoa. Out of my mind, how many times did I tell you I am no good at being alone? Yeah, it's taking a toll on me, trying my best to keep from tearing my skin off my bones, don't you know? This is the chorus part here. I lose control when you're not next to me. I'm falling apart right in front of you, can't you see? I lose control when you're not next to me. Yay, you're breaking my heart, baby. You're making a mess of me.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. I need to read.
It was heartwarming.
Problematic.
Sounds like a song about addiction.
And he's doing the woman metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
This is it?
Yes. I think so.
This is Teddy Fish.
Johnny Sharks with another one climbing up the charts.
Hey, this is a voice right here. I've never heard this before.
This is the number one song in the country.
Number one for the year.
Trying my best to keep from tearing the skin off my bones.
Don't you know?
I lose control.
Oh, wow.
You put sauce on that.
Yeah.
All right.
Teddy Swims.
Did I do all right?
Not Teddy Fish. Yeah, you did a great job. This actually, I mean, this is my first listen here, but it's pretty good. It's a good voice.
Yeah. It's already ready for the grocery store.
Yeah, the grocery store songs are good. I can sing along to those. Those are good.
Quite the playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Madonna. And Madonna quite a bit in the Tom Thumb.
Do you break out in song and dance when you're going to get your crawfish?
Yeah. Material Girl. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of love for this song on the text right now.
So many skews.
Never heard of this guy before. There's your song of the year. All right, top 10 new terms of 2024. Have you ever heard these terms? This comes courtesy of the New York Post. The number 10 new term of the year, preen.
Preen.
A slang term for a child that acts or wears clothes like a teenager. Preen.
Preteen.
Yeah, they're combining them.
Preteen. Okay.
We go to number 9. This is, I guess, a French word of sorts.
Oui.
Ouvre? Or O-E-U-V-R-E?
Ouvre.
Refers to the repertoire of a musician, artist, or writer.
Ouvre.
I don't know. Number 8 is cats. K-A-T-Z.
Cats, great deli in New York.
Means
hell of a basketball player, too.
Yeah.
What he wants to be.
Yeah.
It means anything fun or entertaining. These are apparently words that young folks are using.
Oh, they're cats. Is that right? Did I use it the right way, Lucius?
Like that. The bee's knees, now it's the cats.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's the cats, man. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Like Lucius.
They're going back to jazz days, bebop.
Lucius is a cat. He's one of the cats.
The cats, man, I tell you.
Number 7 new slang term of 2024. 3 letters, S-E-N, sen, a slang term for self.
Sen?
Sen. S-E-N.
Have you ever heard anybody say send it? Like, do it, send it.
Yeah, full send.
Send it. Yeah.
But this is just S-E-N. Sen.
Where'd you learn that one from, Broadus?
Sniper shows.
Okay.
Like the sniper. Okay. Like his guy. Like his spotter.
I got you.
Send it.
That's when you know it's time to let that index finger go.
I thought you learned that in the dating pool for a while.
Don't be talking about it. Be about it. Send it, big boy.
Have you ever sent have you ever texted a photo of yourself?
Yeah.
Of your piece?
Oh, no. What are you doing? Okay. Oh.
Number six.
Oh, what are you? Gosh.
I think he's ball sagging us, Lucius.
Oh, I know. Hey.
Number six.
I worked with a guy that did, though.
Oh, really?
He was a quarterback.
He was known for it.
Awful angle, too, with the Crocs in there and everything. Crocs, come on, Crocs, fam. Yeah. Got to work on that angle,
you get
bro.
In trouble doing that.
Well, if they're unsolicited, for sure.
You're getting a lot of trouble. Like, these females would, like, they'll call you out
for
that.
It's unsolicited.
Yeah, they'll call you out for that.
Yeah, no.
The mind frame has got to be insane. Like, this will knock her socks off.
She's going to want
this. This is what she'd be wanting to see.
Your heart's racing.
Surprise, surprise. Number six, we have schmaltz as your number six
schmaltz new liquor?
Slang term of the year. Let's see. I guess it's making a comeback. For those who don't know, it's a Yiddish term referring to anything highly melodramatic or sentimental.
Ah, it's a schmaltz.
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 Number five, sobriquet.
Whoa.
Gen Z, I guess, thinks they're a little fancy here. It's another French term. Refers to a nickname or descriptive title of a person or thing.
Sobriquet?
Guess so. Or sobriquet, maybe. Mm. Q-U-E-T at the end. Mm. Number four, of course... Broadus knows this one. Hawk Tua.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Sums it all up.
Yep.
Kind of our whole year.
Now, how about this one?
Poor girl.
Yeah, she got roasted. I watched the...
she got roasted?
The 2024 yeah. roast. The roast of 2024. It's on Netflix. And she was brought up a multitude of different times by the
She's making money
roasters.
Off this, though, isn't
well.
She?
Well...
Is she down?
Well, she did that crypto thing, and now I don't know if we've seen or heard from her.
Yeah. What a hell of a year, right? You get blasted off into the stratosphere of being famous, and then all of a sudden now you're caught up in a legal scandal.
Yeah, it's come full circle for her in less than 12 months.
I mean, what a year.
Number three word of the year, brand new slang term, Gen Z bringing it strong. How about this one? Have you guys heard this? Skibbity?
Skibbity.
Let's see. So it was a popular Halloween costume. There's a bunch of memes involved here. It's hard for me to really get a grasp on what it actually means, but skibbity is apparently a big time thing right now. Number two, Sigma.
What?
Jack Sigma. He was good for the Sonics back in the day.
It refers to a lone wolf who doesn't subscribe to traditional social roles.
Gotcha.
If you're Sigma, I guess that's a cool thing. If you're Sigma, and then number one is demure.
Demure. I'm very mindful. I'm very demure.
Is that
These
what
are
that
terrible
is?
Words.
Demure. I've heard a lot. I've heard that one a lot. These other ones, I don't know. These kids are getting into the bebop slang now, which I like.
Yeah, I'm not
going old school. It's not like weird things like ratchet. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You give me a fly word, make me look back, and it's like, oh, they was using this word in 1880.
Yeah, they're kind of bringing some stuff back now and sort of reinventing it a little bit. There it is, top 10 new words of 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, multi-time Super Bowl champion. It's Mark Schlereth, ladies and gentlemen, next year in the nation. All right, let's go ahead to the D&M Leasing Hotline and welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Hellman's Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Happy New Year, Mark. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Fantastic, bro. Fantastic. We just got word that Ezekiel Elliott has been released. And get this, Mark, they're trying to get him on a playoff team. Maybe you can go help somebody win a Super Bowl. 3.1 yards per carry. What say you?
Good luck. I mean, every time they give him the ball, I think to myself when I'm watching, why? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that? But, hey, good luck, man. That'd be great. I'd love to see him get an opportunity to, contribute. I just don't – He's not going to play special teams. He's like, I don't know. Like, at some point, you got to watch yourself on film. Here's how I figured out. I sucked, okay? You ready? Like, at the end of my career, I was coming off several knee injuries, several knee surgeries, had a knee surgery, came back to practice. It's snowing outside. I'm in Denver. We're outdoors. You know, I'm only taking a few reps here and there. And it got snowing so hard you couldn't really see the numbers on the jerseys. You know, they're old faded out jerseys we're wearing in practice. And I'm watching this kid who I thought was a practice squad player, and he's taking reps, and I'm like, oh, my God, that kid sucks. I'm thinking this in my head. That kid sucks. He's never going to play in this league. And then I go, wait a minute, rewind that. And I look closer. I put my glasses on, and I go, oh, shoot, that's me. Like, that, like it was that bad. And I was like, it is time to stop playing because I'm no longer a help to the team. I'm a hindrance. And, you know, and that's when I, in my mind, I knew it was over, man. It takes its toll on your body, and you can see it in Zeke, no question about it.
Stink, when you get to that point, though, is that the most difficult thing for a player? I mean, you saw it because, you know, you're like, oh, wow, that's me, but you knew it. But is that the most difficult thing for a player to know when that day comes?
Yeah, I think it's really hard, you know, especially, you know, in my case, I could always play and I could always play well injured.
Right.
And so that was always like my superpower is I'm not only going to go out and play injured and like I could have a surgery on a Monday and play on Sunday and grade out like really high. Mm-hmm. And I always was able to do that kind of mind over matter. And when my body just said, nope, I ain't doing it anymore. And I couldn't overcome that mentally, man. It was devastating to me because, you know, I always pride myself on being, you know, mentally just tougher than the injuries. Like, I just was like, I am going to fight through this. And not only am I going to go out here feeling like crap, I'm going to whip your ass feeling like crap. And there was a sense of pride in being able to do that. And I did that throughout my entire career. And when my body just kind of gave up and quit, and I couldn't will it to do the things I wanted it to do anymore, it's a really tough realization for you as a player. You're just like, oh, my gosh, you know, I've always been able to do this, and I can't do it anymore. And you feel, I mean, you feel like you're letting your team down. You feel like you're letting the organization down. It's hard, man. That's a really hard thing.
Stink, who's better between the Lions and the Vikings?
It's a great question. I think I would take the Lions' offense and Jared Goff, and although – you know, Sam Darnold's having an unbelievable year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously Justin Jefferson is top notch. I mean, they're both super, uber talented. I think what sets their offense apart, the Detroit Lions offense apart to me, is their O-line is, like, their O-line is big time. They are a big time performance group up front. Not that Minnesota's bad. They're not. They're very good. But I would put the Lions, you know, on the upper echelon, them in Philadelphia. Maybe there's one or two more, but those guys are that good. Defensively, they scare me, though. You know, that it's funny. I did week four game in Arizona with Detroit, and I'm watching last night very intently because they've got San Francisco this weekend, and I'm like, holy Moses. Like, I recognize Kirby Joseph, you know, and Brian Branch and Jack Campbell. And that's about where it begins and you know, where it ends. Mm-hmm. Three or four guys on their defense that were there in week four when I called the game. So it was like, it was really, you know, just, it was really like eye opening to me sitting there watching it.
Stink, should the Eagles go for the record with Barkley on Sunday?
Hell yes.
I knew this was going to come up.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, listen, man, I get it. I would sit there and say, here we go. Like if I'm coaching that team, first off, I would talk to Saquon about it, mm-hmm. because it means a lot. Like, if you watch him break the 2,000, watch, they panned to Jeff Stoutland, who's
exactly.
One of the best offensive line coaches in the business, man, and he's jacked up, and guys are jacked up, you know, and they're celebrating Saquon, and Saquon is one of those guys that to me is like connective tissue within a locker room. You know, he bonds together defense and offense and special teams. He's just that guy, and I know this, man, when I was playing in Denver and Terrell Davis in week 18 in a game that didn't matter to us, we had the number one seed. He needed 170 yards to break 2,000. Like, screw Terrell. It's important to me. Yeah. Like, I want this record for him. And, you know, we're very close friends. It was really important to me. It was really important to us as a group. And a really cool story, man. We're in the game. And one of our guys, he's our ops, you know, he's in charge of ops. Mm-hmm. And his name was Bill Harple. I think it was Bill that was holding it up. It might have been somebody else, but I'm pretty sure it was Bill. But anyhow, he had a little grease board on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And every time Terrell had to rip off a run, you know, 10, 12 yards, we'd be shouting at the sideline. Like, what does he need? What does he need? And he'd write down the number for us, right, yeah, between plays. And it was like we'd get closer, and we were getting closer and closer, and all of a sudden, you know, he breaks one off for 8 yards or something, and he goes 2007. Then we pull him out of the game. And for me, I would look at that record like, hey, let's give you the ultimate try in that first half. See if you can get this thing. See where we are at the end of the first half. If we're close, and if we are, damn it, let's go get it. Let's go make history. And that's kind of how I think I would approach it. How I feel like they're going to approach it, but again, I have no clue. That's just what my gut tells me.
Who's your MVP this year, Mark?
If Saquon breaks the record, I'd take Saquon. Now, first, you've got to understand, I hate quarterbacks. Quarterbacks don't—they're not football players. They're quarterbacks, right? They don't play football; they play quarterback.
Yeah.
And you know, and we just bend over backwards. Like, every rule in the league is bent toward their success. And yet we sit here and go, oh, the job is so hard. Oh, my goodness, how do they do it, right? Oh, like, we're running a, you know, a high-low concept. We're running a post over. And if the safety jumps on the over, throw the post. If he jumps, you know, if he stays deep on the post, then throw the over. Oh, how do they figure it out? Ooh. Like, give me a break. Let's stop it. Every rule, you can't hit them. You can't look at them. Like, it just is, it's ridiculous. Let's let a football player win it. Saquon is, like I said, he's connective tissue. Let him win it. I'd love to see it.
Mark, I want to thank you so much because Eric, for the last 3 or 4 days, has tried to get every prominent guest we've had, and you put it over the top. So thank you so
Everybody's
much.
Everybody's giving it to Barkley, Stink, and I was hoping that you were.
And Eric loves quarterbacks more than anybody. And just what you said, you should have seen his face. He was just smiling to himself because he knows how wrong he is about this. And I just want to thank you for being a great guest all year, Stink. Really appreciate you.
I appreciate it, man. You guys are the best. Take care. And hey, you're only 5 plays away from winning that game.
Hey, without the scoreboard, Stink, we were right there.
Right there, Stink.
That may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I know, dude. That was amazing. That was amazing. Micah Parsons. Incredible. Well, who's your defensive player of the year then? Who are you giving to that?
Wow. You know, that's a great question. We always make it about sacks, you know, and sacks are hard to get. I'm biased. Like, I love watching PS2 in Denver play, but yeah, it's Denver, and they're 9 and 7, and mm-hmm, yeah, it's going to be hard for anybody 9 and 7 to win that thing. Parsons was out for so long, you know, with the high ankle sprain, it's going to be hard for him. T.J. Watt's been amazing. I'll tell you, the guy that just consistently I marvel at is Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson is tougher than Iowa. Like, and he was going into last week, and I think he led the league in sacks. But, like, the first time I watched him play, that dude, watch him. He plays with no tape on his hands or fingers or gloves.
Right, it's crazy. Yeah.
Just and long black sleeves.
Like, I watch him and go, oh, yeah, he's tougher than I was. Yeah. Like, there's no way I would even think about playing a football game without tape on my fingers. And my fingers were taped up. Like, I mean, you wouldn't believe how much tape I would use in my hands. And your hands take a beating. And for that dude to play that way, he's a great, great player. But there's a lot of them, man. There's a lot of guys. Chris Jones is incredible. There's a ton of guys that are really, really special in this league to play on the defensive side of the ball.
No doubt about it. Well, you're the man, Mark. We appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. We'll catch up with you again next week, man. Thank you.
Sounds good. Be well.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Hellman's Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Yeah.
And Broadus is laughing himself to the bank here with the Barkley MVP stuff.
See, you're
proud of that.
You think you're going to be so wise, And you're just going to like, okay, let's see if I could get somebody else. But you're asking all the crusty dudes.
I know. We got to get some real football power on
here.
Yeah,
you need some. If you didn't have so many crusty dudes that you asked that question to, and you had a crusty gal, yes, you know, our sideline reporter there.
I'm sure she would appreciate that.
No, yeah, who's a crusty gal? Put some names
Pam
on it.
Pam Oliver.
Oh, damn.
She's a veteran. She's a crusty veteran.
She is. She's the best. And we appreciate her very much, yeah. Except for the fact that she voted it for Saquon for the MVP.
Sure.
Unbelievable. We're going to get a guest on here that is going to be on the right side of history at some point.
It ain't happening.
And I look forward to that moment. All right, let's crank open some football's finest. And why is John Gruden not giving us his Week 17 NYSE Players of the Week? Broadus has the inside scoop next in the nation.